Welcome back, everybody. We are the Dangle Venture Boys. I am your co-host, Johnny. I'm here with my good buddy and co-host,
Mark.
Yes, and Mark is here to discuss Season 1, Episode 13, our official canonical end to Season 1. Ooh, man, we're going to talk about Return to Spider Skull Island today. How excited are you about Spider Skull Island? Especially considering you're not actually going to see it.
I mean, I'd be a little more excited if you told everybody who we were and what we're doing and why we should be excited to round out Season 1, Episode 13.
Guys, welcome back to the Dangle Venture Boys. We are here to talk about that beloved animated classic, the Adult Swim show, The Venture Bros. This is Doc Hammer in all of his awesomeness and glory. We are rounding out Season 1 today. We're going to talk about Return to Spider Skull Island. We've got another extra special Christmas special in the works as well here to kind of chit-chat around. But yeah, so Mark, what do you say we tune into our communicator watches for Episode 13?
I think we should, and I also just want to point out that we're recording this on Easter Sunday, so this is maintaining a dang old podcast tradition of recording episodes on holidays. But I think this is our first ever Easter recording, so good on us.
I really think it might be our first Easter recording. It's not that we hate our families, guys. We just prefer each other's company much more than our families most of the time. You know what? None of my family listens to this, so I don't really give a shit.
Yeah, fuck anyway. You, Adam.
Guys, if you have not watched Season 1, Episode 13 and don't want it spoiled for you, please stop the podcast now, go give it a watch, and then tune into our very fun synopsis here. After the gang solves the mystery of the haunted Cineplex, Doc finds out he's in the family way. The Monarch begins pulling the strings on his evil empire from prison via his loyal henchmen. Hank and Dean go away for the night to be with Dr. O, and after a startling discovery about their future offspring, they run away to the city to become lion tamers or something. Doc finds out that his tumor was benign, but it has absconded with the X-1, stranding him and Brock at the hospital. When they make it home, they find an intruder into the Venture compound. The boys are on the lam, and Dr. O is hot on their trail. Doc is being hunted by a robot with the face of his father. The Monarch makes the worst prison trade of his life, and Helper learns how to drive a stick shift. The boys finally get scared straight, and JJ and Doc become friends. On the way home, the Monarch's henchmen accidentally succeed in their goal all along. I almost feel bad that you don't get to see these ahead of time because you just have to laugh and just enjoy them as I spew them out here. You get to hear
man,
all
genuine
my
reactions
stuff here.
Yes,
it's very good.
One of these days, I'm gonna write one, and it'll be like the horrible way that I used to try and like summarize a Dangle podcast, and it's like a 20-minute long rambling synopsis of the episode, and you go, "Yeah, Mark, but what happened?" Well, I don't really know what happened. I don't know.
I don't rightly know. What I do rightly know is our cast, our notables and first appearances, as per the wiki here in this episode, we have Dr. Septopus, King Gorilla, Margaret and Nickty Fictal, Mecha Mouth, Mr. Monday, and Shameface. Okay, so there's a couple of characters here that I know you know. Right? Like, King Gorilla is very obvious. He gets called out a couple of times.
Right.
I'm pretty sure somebody gets sold to him for a cigarette at one point. You're not going to know who the Fictals are yet, but you will eventually know who the Fictals are, the waitresses. Okay. It's a weird callback that I really am realizing now that I should have put in our lore building, but I don't want to give away too much. Sadly, I don't think we get to see Mecha Mouth again. And so that makes me, like, kind of upset because he's kind of a weirdly awesome character design, but and Shameface is just the guy that like has the real weird fucked up face. I think I have to imagine that's who it is.
Okay, so he's not like a reoccurring character, he's just kind of there in prison.
I think okay. It is the guy that's there. Oh no, he does show back up again. Okay, cool, he shows back up again, it's cool. Anyway, Mark, I do have a question for you, as I do every single week. I keep hearing about this thing called a rusty venture. What's a rusty venture?
Oh, a rusty venture is when your good buddy Johnny invites you to the Cinemaplex and you guys are gonna go watch a movie. And when you hear it's a Rocky movie and you tune out the rest of it and you get super excited and you put on your Star Spangled shorts and bathrobe and Uncle Sam top hat and put on your Carl Weathers mustache, and then you get to the theater and
R.I.P.
realize he wasn't talking about Rocky, he was talking about the Rocky and Bullwinkle movie. Well, you just look like an asshole in blackface.
That's okay because the half that are there to watch Natasha and the other Russian people are there are probably going to find it pretty funny.
Moose and Squirtle.
Exactly. All right, guys, we are to Rusty Ventures, which are our standout moments and jokes in the episode here. Mark, you want to start us off?
Yeah, sure, I'll take it away. Number one, I can admit this freely to you and our listeners now that we've developed a pretty solid listener base. Like, either you'll like it or being Easter Sunday, you'll crucify me for this take. I've never seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and quite frankly, I don't care to.
Ooh, interesting. Okay, then I have to ask you
Okay, yeah.
here, as somebody who I know absolutely loves the D, not the dick guys. He loves Tenacious D. Have you listened to their Time Warp medley?
Nope. I mean, maybe I think I
You
well
really.
I think that you and I have listened to it together and I'm like aware of it, but I don't. It's
Okay.
like it's like
As it.
Cats. Up until I watched the new Cats movie, I hadn't seen it, but I was aware of Cats. I knew what memory was. Like, you can't escape it, and that was gonna be
Okay.
my point, was like, it's by this point, the it's been built up in my head, like pop culture has like blown it for me. Like, I always see Chief Wiggum as Tim Curry.
Frankenfurter?
Thank you. I will see like that image
It's,
of,
yeah.
yeah, I will see that image in my head. So like I have these pictures and ideas of what's going on. Like, I know that, damn it, Janet, I love you, like that shit. I remember the rumor in college of the theater majors would make you dance the time warp. Like, I know of it. I just don't at this point care to know about it. You know what I mean?
You know what? I guess if you know of what it is, right, or what it represents, or the idea that everybody in the venture house decided that they were going to dress up in cosplay to go and see one of these, I think that it's without seeing it's already made its point.
Yeah, and I mean that's it. And quite frankly, it's a musical, and I hate musicals. The monarch is still in prison. That's hilarious. You kind of poked at this last week, but hey, it's a good
Yeah,
bit of
because
continuity,
we're
man.
so used to, well, as I said, we're so used to shit not having consequences in this show, right? Like one episode to the next, we don't really feel like there's a lot of continuity going on. And you even said, like, oh, cool, the monarch's in prison. Yeah, that's not gonna last. And I totally called you on it because I
Yeah.
went, is it? Is it not gonna last? Let's hear him talk about getting scared straight, Mark, and why that's like the greatest speech ever.
Oh my, oh God, talk to me when we get to parodies and references. So I need you to travel through time with me to last week when we, I watch these right before we record these. I like them fresh in my head, and then I kind of stew over them and whatever. But like, HBO Max is a real bitch in that it will just autoplay an episode, but before it does, it'll give like the synopsis. And all I saw was Doc Venture's twin. And I was so excited to get
Son
my,
of a
like,
bitch.
no, it's cool. Because you had told me that, like, it was going to come up again. And, like, I've been poking around this for weeks now about, like, are we going to get resolution? And I saw that and I was like, oh my God, yes. And I wanted to watch it so badly that this morning I fucking shot out of bed at like 4:30 in the morning like a kid on Christmas because I got chimerical twin closure, and oh my God, it was amazing.
Can I tell you how hard I have checked myself the entire process of this entire fucking thing? And by every time I mention Jonas Venture, I do not mention Jonas Venture Senior. I don't say senior. And it's everywhere in all of my notes. Like anything I copy and paste from the wiki says Jonas Venture Senior on it because you hadn't met JJ yet. And I'm like, God damn it. I'm so upset that it spoiled it for you, but I'm really excited that you got excited for it.
It's pretty great. So, I know it would make us problematic homophobic truckers, but at the same time, I'm going to buy us matching hats that say cat and fish on them, and I've got to ask, which one do you want to be?
I will be cat.
Sounds good. I kind of figured you would be, yeah.
Of course.
And we get a costume change here in Brock's new haircut. He doesn't have the mullet anymore. He gets the close crop. I kind of
like a perm.
It. Yeah.
Okay.
Curly-headed fuck. Also,
I mean, it works.
It does. No, I like it. It looks good. Like I say, man, I would kill to have that, you know, shirt, and it's great. I also like him getting knocked out. The wig falls off, and then his hair, like, pops out. It's pretty good.
Right.
Also, once again, Helper just being completely unhelpful is hilarious.
The opposite of Helper. Yes.
I need you to drive. I don't need you to unchain me. No. Instead, drive my car. So turn on the windshield wipers, hit his little poof hair, run into the wall. No, reverse.
You could pilot the X1, but you don't know how to drive stick.
Also, point of order, Helper's got that stupid, like, you know, hospital IV wheelie base. How's he doing a clutch?
Yeah.
I don't, whatever, I'm not asking questions.
No idea.
I just...
Oh, good stuff.
That's what I had, buddy. What do you got for me?
Okay, so first off, I really enjoyed all of the different things that the Monarch was directing his minions to do for him. But the one that stuck out specifically to me was... did you fill the Phantom Limb's house with extra static clingy packy peanuts? And I went, that's so fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, that would be the most infuriating thing ever to try and clean up.
And it's going
like,
to look double
stupid
on him.
Like, that is next level. Yes.
Because he's, you know, just like floating
so
packing
good.
Peanuts on invisible arms and legs. Like, that's hilarious. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, it's so, so good. So I love that. I love the idea of the boys are talking about what their new little brother or sister is going to be like. And they're like, yeah, Brock's going to have to wear one of those like things on like those little carriers on the front. And I'm like, the idea of Brock wearing a papoose is very funny to me.
Brock and a baby Bjorn. Yes.
Right. I love the radical like shift in. I'm fine. How dare you? I knew you did this. Oh, wait, no, this is great. Oh, my God, you're the worst from Doc, especially mm-hmm. when he talks about his cancer, right? He's going to blame it on Brock smoking and not the, like, hundreds of, if not thousands of different super science experiments that he has done and his dad has done. No, none of that's going to give him cancer. It's Brock smoking. That's what's going to do it.
Not the handful of amphetamine. Yeah, sorry.
Right. No, you're good. I love the illogical conclusion that is met with essentially, oh, well, Dean's not allowed to be with Triana anymore because despite the fact that they're not blood related, they're still going to make extra Artard babies. That is hilarious to me.
Can I
have the return?
I want to hit pause really quick. Sorry, you just kind of brushed around it and... you know me, I'm never one to say trigger warning or really get affected by what cartoons do. But goddamn, this is a product of 2000 and whatever the hell. Like,
this episode specifically with, we have, let's see, guys, here is your trigger warning from me. We have the words and in this episode.
Well, you know, like, because I talked a long time ago, I talked about we were watching Law & Order Special Victims Unit and like, dude, mm-hmm. they will drop the F-bomb, like, in those early, like, late 90s, early 1000s. They will just, like, willy-nilly throw that shit out. And it's, like, whatever. Yeah. It's a procedural crime show. Cool, I get it. Like, I get that end of it. But, like, something about seeing it in cartoon form, I'm like, god damn. Like,
It hits different.
But it's not, like, drawn together where you expect to see it. It's not, this isn't a Comedy Central joint, you know? Like, this isn't South Park where, you know, like, whatever, Artard, I'm gonna... Whatever, I don't know. I've been watching season one, and they drop retarded like it's going out of style. But fuck, man, I was not taken aback, but I was just like, made me almost spill my beer this morning at 5 a.m.
You're not used to it anymore. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah. I have become unsensitized to it. Resensitized? Whatever.
I'll skip one here so that we can kind of go on the same like vein here. Dr. Orpheus is encountered with the yokels and their soul's imprisonment inside the homie, right?
Yep.
Instead of a homeboy, it's definitely a homie. And yeah, they're like, backwoods, I'm going to be the southern asshole that doesn't like you because you've got long hair, and that must mean that you're a... That's pretty much exactly what they say. And I'm not used to seeing that either. That kind of fucked me up today.
Yeah, it was weird, man.
But I don't know. We got our own justice, right? Because they're stuck inside a homie now. It's great.
Yeah, fucking Pokeball.
Mark, we right? We have the return of the hover bikes. And that makes me really happy because not is it just a return of the hover bikes. They kept the baskets and the little like flowers on the front of them. Mm-hmm. Oh, that makes me happy. Continuity, guys. Thank you for the attention to detail. Mark, at the very end of the episode here, we have Brock, Dr. Orpheus, Helper, and Doc Venture all crammed into what kind of vehicle?
Black slug bug. Volkswagen.
Yes.
Beetle. I guess I should use its proper term.
Yes, a black. No, it's okay. A black VW Beetle. You guys, I'm sure somewhere along the line of the dang old universe here, I've talked about my love for Volkswagens. I freaked out today watching that. I went, holy shit, it's a black VW. This makes me so happy. And they put so much detail into the drawing itself. I'm not going to be the asshole that tells you exactly what year it is because I didn't look it up. But if I went back and rewatched the scene, I could probably give you an approximation of what year it's supposed to be. Last one here. One of the most visceral things that I think I have ever seen or heard somebody explain is cold diarrhea in a Dixie cup. Wow.
Oh, man. Just oh, you almost puked me there. Yep.
Monarch. Holy shit. Like, that whole speech is perfect. It is perfection. I want that out of a 90s crime procedural right there. I want that Monarch speech right there. Just have Ice-T say it. It's fine. We're good since we're talking about SVU.
you can understand it, yeah.
Oh, God, I really hope he doesn't have Cameo because you better believe I will send him that chunk and say, I want you to read this for my Cameo just so I can hear it. wow. God, that'd be the worst waste of money, but the best waste of money. Anyway, those are my rusty ventures. I think we are to parodies, buddy. What parodies did you notice? And some of them are very obvious here.
Oh, yeah. Again, this is one of those ones that I'm like, what do I include? What do I not include? Well, so I want to call back to Dangle Podcast did it in Reconcilable Differences.
Wait, Peggy, I haven't told you how I'd make Rocky. You haven't told me how you'd make Rocky 3 better.
Sorry, but Rocky 4, once again, is still the best Rocky.
come on, man. I like Creed 2.
I do. I like. No. So wait. When you say you like Creed 2, do you mean you like the new extended edition universe Creed movies? Or you like Rocky 2 where he does beat Apollo Creed?
No, I meant like Creed number 2, as in like the 9th Rocky movie.
Oh, God. Okay, well, agree to disagree.
I said it as it's a joke. It's cool.
No, because I like the first one. I like the reboot Rocky where like 88-year-old Sylvester Stallone like has to train again. And they're like giving the breakdown of like, all right, you got bad knees, your shoulders don't work, and you got ossification and all your knuckles. So what we gotta do is make you an insane punching powerhouse. And, like, he's holding the 200-pound dumbbells and, like, punching with them. I'm like, this movie is stupid. And then, like, they're all stupid, but, like,
come on, Mark. You just gotta not be so green and lazy, man.
Green and lazy, Johnny. Start a podcast with me. You start doing this Sylvester Stallone. Green and lazy. Knock you out. Mentally subnormal. Look at the tiger.
I'm sorry.
Come at me, Kevin Smith. We're ripping off your bit. What about it?
We're not ripping off. We're paying homage because this is our parodies and references segment.
This is true.
Also, Rocky 3 is the amazingest of Rockies, but it's just so, like, it's just so gay, man.
Rocky 4 has the beach montage, right?
That's 3, dude. That's him and Apollo running up the beach, and that's why I say, but it also has the most racist line in cinema with Pauly there. He can't train to this jungle beat music, and it's like, Jesus Christ, Pauly.
Oh, wow, God, it
must be Easter because I've been drinking early and I'm turning into my uncle who just thinks it's okay to say terrible things, but it's all right because it's a parody and a reference. Clay Samurai Warriors is something. I just don't know. I swear to God, it's something. I just don't know what it is.
Okay.
When Dr. Orpheus tucks the boys in at night, he says, "Good night, you princes of venture, you kings of sleepover." He is referencing Michael Caine's speech in The Cider House Rule, and or Bender Bending Rodriguez, "Good night, you princes of Maine." Yeah.
Yes, that's the one I know.
I know them both.
I sadly have never watched Michael Caine's Ether Huffing Abortionist from The Cider House Rules, but I know what the plot is because of King of the Hill.
Oh, there's our deep dive. We talked a lot about during Dangle about watching all the movies that like Hank references, so we can do that. We can do the Great Santini.
Oh my God, I want to watch The Great Santini so bad.
It sucks. I've watched it. It's about a stunt pilot. It's so fucking weird. This is a deep cut. I don't even know if it's a thing or not. But so when Dr. O, which is what I will be calling him from now on because I like the way that the boys say it. Dr. O, it's funny. Excuse me, PBR burp. When he is going to go look for him, he's like, "I shall become as a shadow." And I wrote in my notes, "The Shadow Knows." The Shadow was a radio series in the 40s and 50s about a...
Mm.
Yeah, it's cool. Go check out The Shadow. You can find him on... Yeah. You can find the old back episodes on Spotify. He's like a vigilante, right? Yeah, he's like a PI by day that then finds the bad guys and then brings them to justice. Kind of like proto Batman and Punisher, but he doesn't really kill people. He just, always gets his guy. It's pretty neat.
I swear there was a Frank Miller comic about The Shadow, but I may be wrong.
There was. No, you're thinking of Spirit, I think.
And
the
Spirit
is a send up of The Shadow. Yeah, same idea. It's a noir type deal. But guys, go check those out. They're really good. And for being something that's almost 100 years old at this point, it holds up and isn't that racist. I mean, yeah, you fight the dreaded Fu Manchu, but whatever.
It's not Amos and Andy.
I get it. Ooh, Mutt and Jeff are gay. Sorry, I totally ruined your Amos and Andy impression there.
Wow.
I think what it is I feel a false sense of empowerment from Trans Visibility Day, and being a theater major, that automatically lets me co-opt anything that I want because I was a theater major. All right, so moving on, sorry. What does Dr. O imprison the two homophobic truckers in? That's right, buddy, a little homie's action figure. And
yes,
do you remember homies? Because oh my God, I remember homies. I remember my grandmother freaking out about them and seeing them in a vending machine because they were just so offensive and they were trying to make me and my brother gangsters. And I liked the fat dude, Big Buddha, but it's such a weird thing. I never read the comics. I did a crash course this morning looking into them, and I started reading the comics on, this super unsafe website from, 2001. And I'm like, oh, God. You're going to make two wizards do a loose robes about this, aren't you?
I want to see a loose robes about the shit you could find in vending machines in the 2000s.
Skittles, Pokemon cards, condoms, yeah.
T- temporary tattoos, man. It's good. Everybody was a member of the Orange County Choppers. It's fine.
Oh my God, everybody. Monarch and his entire Scared Straight bit is a direct reference to the Scared Straight bit. Have you watched that original video? Because it is hilarious. Because he pretty much takes that word for word.
Yes. Thing
of that, especially the bit of like, when I'm done fucking each one of your holes, then I'll sell you for a cigarette. Yo, give me a cigarette. I just sold your ass, bitch. Like that. But then it like cuts to the like, grab my pocket. You're my... I've talked about this before. Like, old ass Scared Straight was amazing.
This is, I want to say, I listened to a stand-up comic talk about one specific bit that he loved from Scared Straight from an episode they only showed one time, and it might have been the grab my pocket one.
Yeah.
Because it's the guy talking about, like, what you in here for? I stole a bike. Bikes! And he, like, freaks out about it and just keeps saying that. It is the funniest stand-up bit that I've heard in such a long time, but it got me to revisit Scared Straight because it is so stupid and entertaining at the same time.
Like, I know how horned up we get for nostalgia and shit, but, like, there's also that end of it, and it's like, God, remember when Scared Straight was a thing? And it was, I don't know, it was...
Yeah.
America's so safe, we need to lie about our teenagers. Ha ha. It was, I don't know. But then also, Boondocks does this, too. They do it in the one where the kids get stuck in the Scared Straight prison with Tom, and it opens up with how, like, Tom Dubois' one fear is being anally raped. And then he gets stuck in the prison and it goes on lockdown and he starts like whooping everybody's ass and it's hilarious, but grab my pocket. But then too, I forget the prisoner's name. I think his name is like Fleece Johnson or something, but he was upset and offended by his portrayal in the Boondocks portraying him. And it's like, shut the fuck up, dude. You were in prison. You don't get to say it what you get portrayed as. You signed your rights away to MSNBC. Ooh. Shut up. Like... Because you know he got, you know that those inmates got paid. Like, I don't know how they got paid.
Yeah.
Maybe in cigarettes and extra commissary coins, but fuck, I don't know. And then finally, you pretty much already knocked these out, but the only one I recognized was King Gorilla is probably Gorilla Grodd.
It's gotta be Gorilla Grodd. Yeah, I love it.
Anyway, I've been talking for a minute. Johnny, what did you see, buddy?
No, you're good. You're good. You hit a bunch of mine already, right? You hit Homies for sure. You hit Scared Straight. You missed the really blatant one, but I feel like we've hit it so many times already in this that it's kind of silly to keep naming it as a parody and reference. But Mark, who knew that the let's see here, the mystery of the haunted Cineplex was just a guy in a rubber mask? Well, I bet you Scooby Doo would have figured that out.
Does that
because
even count at
it's
this
very
point?
Clearly say that again.
I said, does it even count at this point to keep going back to Scooby-Doo? Because like old hat man, it'd be us calling out the Venture Jammies anytime we saw them.
If it doesn't count, then we also don't get to count anytime they reference 007 from here on out, because they do that about every episode too.
Well, but they like sneak that one in, so I don't know. I don't know. I got nothing. I also sent you Homies poster. Enjoy that at your own leisure.
Thank you. Ooh, hold on a second. We're going to look this up, guys. I got to pull up the Discord on my actual computer. All right, that's downloading an update. I don't really give a shit.
Technology.
It's fucking lovely. We hit Rocky Horror already. We hit Scared Straight, Homies, Scooby-Doo, all that. The only other one that I saw was potentially a reference to the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie with Danny DeVito Jr., right? I felt like that might have been oh, Jesus. Okay, thank you for showing. There was, God, there was so many of them.
Yeah, there was a ton.
So many of them. And they look so racist.
Yeah, but it was done by a cartoonist named Dave Gonzalez. Like, yeah, he was
good
a Mexican
for him.
Dude. Yeah, no, it's caricatures of the people that he saw and witnessed in his everyday life. And yeah, I, like I said, I did a little bit of a deep dive onto it, and I like kind of got a little bit more context from what I knew when I was, you know, 13 years old. But yeah.
Yeah. No, good for you, man. Homies, guys, go check them out. There's some history there.
Also, I would be remiss if I didn't shout out the ICP song. Talking about homies, homies. Okay, I'm good. Because I don't know if y'all knew this, but I am down with the clown. Whoop, whoop.
I did not know that. But yeah, so I thought it might be a reference, you know, considering that Doc is a man who's about to give birth to something, or technically gives birth to something. We have the potential reference here to Junior. But, yeah. Mark, I do have quite a long list here of stuff from the wiki, if you'd like to hear it.
I'd love to. Let's go.
Yes. Okay, so first one here is Cassandra Nova. The concept of a man who absorbs his unborn brother in utero and later thinks the sibling is nothing but a tumor could be a reference to Cassandra Nova, a supervillain created by Grant Morrison in the New X-Men. It is revealed to be Professor X's half-sister who he tried to kill when they were still in the womb. I kind of want to go and read Grant Morrison's X-Men now.
I love Grant Morrison, but that dude smokes way too much whatever he's smoking. I don't know what it is, but he smokes too much of it.
Disco fries are usually made with mozzarella, provolone, American cheese, and brown gravy. They're essentially American poutine.
That sounds delicious.
Very interesting. You're right. They reference Easy Rider, the Peter Fonda, Dennis Hopper, Jack Nicholson motorcycle movie Easy Rider.
Oh shit, yeah, they do. Okay.
Yep. And specifically the helmets the boys are wearing in their hover bikes. I was like, why do I recognize Hank's helmet here? Because it's the Stars and Stripes one. And I'm like, oh, now that I see it here, Easy Rider, that's Peter Fonda. Yep.
I thought Evil Knievel. Yeah, okay.
Dr. Orpheus mentions there's a television behind El Greco, referring to a painting he must have. Oh, wow. I'm going to just butcher the absolute shit out of this Greek name. Domenikos Theotokopoulos?
Yeah, you're pretty much right.
I don't know. He's known as the Greek. It's fine. Fetus in fetu, the concept of a man who observes his unborn brother in utero and thinks the internalized sibling is nothing but a terrible... or nothing but a tumor, could be based on a very rare medical condition known as fetus in fetu, a developmental abnormality in which a mass of tissue resembling a fetus forms inside the body. We already hit homies. We did not hit John Woo, though. The scene where Brock saves Doc Venture from Jonas Jr. references several common elements from John Woo movies, namely the shootout, the dripping rose in a puddle, and the bursting doves, all in slow motion. Funny story here, yeah. I have a different reference.
Okay.
I have a different reference that I saw that was not John Woo related that I will tell you at the end of this.
Okay.
Because it's in my kill of the week. Jovan Musk. Hank speculates that every Christmas, Uncle JJ would likely give them a Jovan Musk gift pack. I don't know who Jovan Musk is. I have to assume that's Elon Musk's like great grandpa or some shit like that. And that he's also some weird South African dude.
It's actually a cologne for men. You might have seen it in, like, you know, middle and retail stores in the mall when you were a kid.
Interesting.
You can now buy a bottle. I just pulled it up. You can buy a bottle now at Walgreens for $28.99. Apparently, it has a soft, floral, woody scent that is absolutely intriguing, with notes of citrus, spices, pepper, lavender, spearmint, woods, and coarse musk. So... it smells like fucking everything else in the world. Citrus, spices, pepper, lavender. Way to be creative, Jovan Musk, you fucking hack.
I will stick with my Eurotrash Eigner, because it makes me smell like I'm Eurotrash, and it's great.
And I will stick with my Liz sex Vassy. Panther.
It's... ugh. It smells like somebody shit in my nose. the painting
scene. All right, Drakkar Noir.
Dr. Ben... The painting scene in Doc Venture's room is actually one of Doc Hammer's series of Saint Oil paintings. The subject of the painting is Liz Vassy, who, as Captain Liberty, was a co-star of the live-action incarnation of The Tick, which also starred Patrick Warburton.
Interesting. That is a deep-ass cut.
Right? Okay, Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. Doc Ventures offer to his brother that he can have Dean, who can carry him around like Master Blaster.
Yep.
Is from Mad Max. Rocky IV, featuring Ivan Drago, is mentioned in the 911 conversation. We already hit Scared Straight. I don't feel like we need to address the obvious connection between Skull Island and Spider Skull Island, because that's just already there. God, how many of the drinks did Dr. Orpheus attempt to order that you actually recognized? And I'm going to tell you, I recognized Moxie because of Stephen King.
Yeah, I'm sad he didn't order a Nozzle, but yeah.
Right? I recognize Moxie because of Stephen King, Mr. Pibb because of American Dad, and I don't remember. I just saw something. Somebody asked for a Birch beer in something I just watched, but it was nuts. There's a lot of soda
that we don't get into. It's kind of, I don't know.
Right?
Depressing, well, I guess.
I freaked out the very first time I ever had Mellow Yellow, and it's basically just Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
So Little Miss Can't Be Wrong by the Spin Doctors is referenced. We have a Star Wars Episode 6 Return of the Jedi reference. Doc Venture's hallucination of his father stating there is another venture is a direct reference to the third movie of Star Wars.
Yep.
There is another Skywalker.
That boy is our last hope.
No, there is another.
Yep, I know. Yep.
Yes. So you hit the Cider House Rules reference here. What about the dark half? The concept of a man who absorbs his unborn brother in utero and later thinks the internalized sibling is nothing but a tumor is similar to the 89 Stephen King novel The Dark Half and its 93 film adaptation. Apparently, I need to read more Stephen King because I didn't realize that was a thing. I'm not really surprised. Okay. There are two possible references to Wonder Boy here, Mark. The first is the Monarch, who asks his henchmen if they charred the remains of Wonder Boy to his beloved Captain Sunshine. It's a title of a pop song written by Ray Davies and recorded by his band The Kinks in 1968. That is the one that we're not going to say is the actual reference here, because clearly it is a reference to the one and only American comedy rock duo Tenacious D and one of the single greatest songs that I've ever heard performed live, Wonder Boy.
What is the secret of your powers?
About the power of flight, huh? Does that do anything for you? Levitation, Holmes. Oh, that's levitation, homies. Sorry, had to do it.
Power to kill a yak?
With fine bullets. Anyway, the Venture family is dressed up as various characters from the Rocky Horror Picture Show. We have Doc Venture as a Dr. Frankenfurter, Dean Venture as Riff Raff, Hank Venture as Columbia, Brock Sampson as Rocky Horror, and Helper as Magenta. Obviously, none of them are the two main characters that stumble upon the actual House of Rocky, so that's kind of fun. There's a potential reference to Kill a Mockingbird with a busted-up Schiffer robe. I hear the word Schiffer robe, but I immediately think of King of the Hill, so that's just fine. Let's see what we can find in that in my old Schiffer robe. Vanishing Twins. All right, there's one more here that we'll get to before we get to our Guild Member of the Week, which is Wild Wild West, Mark.
Okay. Giant mechanical spiders?
The disabled villain, Dr. Arliss Loveless, attacks from within the safety of a powerful robotic suit. The suit gets destroyed, leaving him crawling, weak, and at the mercy of the protagonist. When Jonas Jr., or JJ, is thrown from his suit and at the mercy of Brock and Rusty, he's left in a similar position.
Okay, maybe. I feel like that's kind of
maybe
just,
kind of.
I don't know, but that's also like, you know, any weird Quado-y clone bullshit, and once you lose the bionic body, you're kind of not really there anymore.
For the record, it's referencing a movie Wild Wild West came out in 1999, as did the Cider House Rules.
I think they're talking though about the TV series. From the 80s or whatever.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, so
Hey kids, I can't wait to show my kids did it. Go listen to me and Brad get mad at Wild Wild West.
Come on, man. You didn't have to do Jam Master J like that.
I'm a badass cowboy living in a cowboy world. But man, right, so I gotta do the sex scene with Selma Hayek. Yeah, keep talking. I'm sorry.
Mark, we are to Who's That Guild Member?
Who's That Guild Member?
And really, we don't have a villain of the week in this episode, right? Not really, unless you consider JJ a villain. And here's a little bit of a spoiler for you. Now that you know that he exists, Mark, JJ's not a villain. He would have killed somebody at the end of this if he was. Instead, he gets to go and fuck off to Spider Skull Island and do whatever he wants to do for a while. We will see JJ again. It's kind of funny.
Okay.
He's our big lore-building element for this this week. Because he is going to come back, and he's going to come back with quite a lot going on. He's going to intertwine himself in a lot of the characters that you've already met already. So I'm excited for you to kind of explore that. We are to Brock's Kill of the Week. And do we have one for this episode? Because I have one.
Okay, what you got?
So you remember when I said I didn't reference John Woo, but I instead referenced something different?
Mm-hmm.
So you and I were just talking off mic about various different shows and things that we could do and potential things. And this is immediately what I thought of when I watched this episode, because Brock basically does a reverse bebop on JJ's mech skeleton. Instead of pushing Spike Spiegel out the window with a bunch of ridiculous, crazy, angelic music and falling and shattering roses, instead it just comes inside with the roses falling, and it's just coming inside the window is all. So he reverse bebopped JJ's mech skeleton. It's fine. It's
okay.
Great.
Okay, right on.
I don't know what else you saw. That's really the only good big kill that I saw, was Brock on top of the car, just annihilating a mech skeleton.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I saw too. Do we even want to count that? Because it's a robot. It's not a real person. It doesn't count, right?
I mean, exactly. So we can, but we don't have to. It's kind of your call.
Actually, no, I lied. I do have one, but I gotta sub it in with Dr. O putting the homophobes in the homie.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I love it. Okay.
Which, well, hey, also, sidebar, this is set in Colorado, and I guarantee you I have met those dudes before. Multiple times.
Oh, come depressing. On. You act like there is just the absolute best people in Alamosa and Peyton, Colorado.
I didn't say Peyton. I said Callahan, but I didn't say Callahan either.
That's okay. I'm pretty sure I've met lots of them in a little tiny, burg called Delta.
Mm.
So, all right, if we're through Brock's Kill of the Week here, then we are to our very fun little segment called The Two Wizards Already Did It. Mark, what have Two Wizards already covered here? Because I absolutely love pimping our other podcasts on our network.
Well, I guess tenuously, maybe. We read H.P. Lovecraft's The Dunwich Horror, which is all about a weird twin that's going to destroy the world. So,
ooh,
there's that
okay.
One. But no, really, that one is too tenuous. But nah, go check out the I Can't Wait to Show My Kids when we talk about Wild Wild West, because we definitely did that one too.
Excellent. All right. Well, hey, we are to our rankings then. And our rankings are as follows, guys. This is basically just how messed up you need to be in order to enjoy the episode. The very bottom here is a must-have, right? You absolutely must have something in your system to enjoy it. These are not very good episodes. You're going to need to be a little bit twisted in order to understand and kind of follow along. Find something funny in there. After that, you got your Dabble Do-Yas. Dabble Do-Yas are a little bit better here, right? You're still going to want a little bit something there, right? Maybe just a little dab in your system. And after that, you're going to enjoy everything quite a lot. After that, you got your fun additions, and this is something that's not necessarily a requirement, right? But it means that this episode is pretty 50-50. It means you're going to enjoy it regardless, but it's always going to be a little bit better if you got something in your system. After that, you got your not necessaries. Our not necessaries are episodes that you don't need anything in your system. You can be stone sober and find it completely compelling and fine and fun, and you're going to laugh your ass off anyway. And finally, we have our Hurts to Indulge. These are our best episodes. They're our most important, impactful episodes. These are the ones that you're actually going to not want to have anything in your system because you might actually miss something that's going on the screen or something in the background that you're going to want to look for later. So, Mark, on a scale of must-have to hurts to indulge, what do you give Return to Spider Skull Island?
I think you need a dab of something because, hey, we kind of glossed over this point. The boys are dead now. And...
ooh, we did.
You yes, gotta did. Cry into your beer, I reckon.
I mean, we've got clones. That's what Doc said at the end here. Let's go get the clones.
Get their clothes, yeah.
But do we trust him? Do we trust that Doc knows what a clone is? Or, do we trust that Doc can make an actual clone? That's really what it is.
This whole time, I'd sort of assumed that Dean and Hank are just clones anyway.
Interesting. I'm curious why you think that.
It just seems like that. There's a lot of lead up, they talk about, okay, so there's a bit with, the cop pulls him over. Shouldn't you boys be in school? Oh, no, we get hypnotically, whatever Dean tells him about their learning beds and shit. It's okay, is it a learning bed or is it a suspension tube where they just get, flash download of all their shit? Things like that. I can't really cite any concrete evidence, but that's just kind of always been my working theory is, well, that's why the boys don't have a mom, because of this. I also wonder, I also wonder, too, Hank is needlessly aggressive sometimes. Is that because he is a prepubescent boy or midpubescent boy? Or is it taking a page out of the Star Wars book when, the Jedi Master Jorowis Sabaoth clones himself multiple times and goes crazier each time he is a clone? It's shit like this.
Ooh.
And this is pre-Disney takeover, so kids, go check out Heir to the Empire. It is so fucking good.
That's the one that's got Luke on the cover, right?
They all have Luke on the cover, buddy. It's Star Wars. Even the Thrawn series has Luke on the cover.
Wow.
Anyway. What are you rating this one?
Never have I been hoisted by my Leon Petard harder than just now. It's always Luke. It's fine. Guys, I gave this a not necessary. I actually think this is a very good episode to watch just on your own, right? Okay. We've had a lot of decent build-up here. You've been asking me for an entire season at this point. Am I ever going to get any clarity as to why Doc Venture keeps having these, weird uterus dreams? Well, here's your conclusion right here. I feel like the moment of exploration of, hey, you are actually my brother, and I've been living inside you, and you treat your body terrible, and damn it, you're the reason I have no hair. It's very funny. I thought love it was the that pills. Whole sequence. Right? I love that immediately you know that JJ is smart, right? Because he put together the helper robot mixed with the oven and all this other stuff, right? He cobbled everything together. He fixed the gun. You know way ahead of time that JJ has basically got all of the smarts that Jonas had. That Rusty never got.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's going to be kind of fun to explore for sure. I love the half side story here that we get of the Monarch is still in jail. He's still stuck there. He's really pissed off that he hasn't been able to do anything because he wants to get back together with Dr. Girlfriend, but he's really pissed off that she's still with Phantom Limb. He's still directing his guys to go out and do stuff, which they do, which means if they completed the entire list with the exception of killing the Venture Boys at the end of that episode, that means that we did get some extra staticky, clingy packing peanuts in Phantom Limb's house. So I'm very excited about that. We're seeing some more continuity here, and I don't know, there's a lot. I don't think you need anything to really enjoy this episode. Now it will make it a lot better if you're a little fucked up and you hear him talking about a cold cup of diarrhea. That is just the most obscene thing I've heard in a long time, but perfectly on par with the with a monarch for sure. So, well, all right. With one minimal, tiny, 10-minute long Christmas special, that concludes season one. Mark, how exciting!
It's pretty crazy, man. Already season one in the bag. Good on us.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys. Well, hey, we're going to take a real quick break, and then we will be back to talk about a very venture Christmas.
Here's the Fleece Johnson telling you to hold his pocket if I can find it.
They're going to have each of somebody's going to have to give us some booty. And it's just that simple.
In this prison, booty. Booty was more important than food. Booty. A man's butt. It was more, I'm sorry, it was more booty, having some booty, was more important than drinking water, man.
All right, Mark, welcome back. We are here for a very venture Christmas, so why don't we tune in our communicator watches for episode 14. We are transported into a land of incontinuity. Doc wakes from a horrible dream where he is actually tolerable to most of his family, to prepare for Christmas. Brock is still searching for that perfect gift for Dean, and Hank nearly stumbles upon a nefarious plot to blast the Venture compound to Kingdom Come using a tiny Joseph. White and Billy lay the moves on Triana, causing Dr. O to leave his mystical book out for the boys to use during Christmas story time. Krampus puts the kibosh on the Monarch's plans, and who also doles out his own unique punishment for Doc, as he has been a very naughty boy. At the stroke of midnight, Krampus blows up the Venture compound, or so we think. Instead, we find the X-1 has now crashed into Bethlehem, and Brock needs to straighten up his Arabic. All right, buddy. Hit me with your best Rusty Venture.
Oh, buddy. Rusty Venture is when you are home for the holidays, but you realize you can't tolerate family like you thought you could when you were 10 years old, and so you start to drinking, and you don't remember how much you had to drink, and there's a reason they call them Moscow Mules, because they'll kick your ass, but then you sober up midway around noon or presents time and realize, fuck, I forgot what I gave people, but I guess everybody's happy that it's not toilet paper.
That's true. At least it's not a grandfather clock that you got super baked in your garage fixing, revarnishing.
Put some lacquer in it, though.
We don't put lacquer in our varnish, Mark. That's not what happens.
Can we just go back to doing King of the Hill?
For those of you that are still here, for those of you that are still here from King of the Hill, I hope you hear these weird, like, obscure-ass references to King of the Hill throughout here, because that's who Mark and I are. We live and breathe this shit. All right, I'm going to start here with some of my standout moments and jokes, my Rusty Ventures.
It's a baby.
First off, I love that they took the time to give us an alternate credit sequence that's got a bunch of Christmas crap in it. Like, that makes me really happy. Somebody animated that, took the time to say, yep, this is a Christmas special. You get a Christmas opening. So that makes me really happy. Randy Christmas movies. Like Miracle on 69th Street. Like,
what were the elves doing to that woman? They're dwarves, Hank.
It's just so good. So good. I really like the very specific use of one tiny Joseph.
Yes.
And I love that the monarch calls him out, like, almost lost an agent here, even though he only has very limited use. So good. And then I also really, like, my last one here is I really like Krampus having his way with Doc Venture.
Yep.
Like, it starts off with the, you're getting slapped with your birch.
Der Rutin bundle.
Thank you. Yes. But it ends up him just getting, almost like, take me to the prison and pound me in the ass time.
It's gonna take your cornbread.
Those are my Rusty Ventures for this very short holiday special. I was very sad that this was only like 10 minutes.
Yeah, agreed. All right, so number one, it's weird we're recording this on Easter, being a Christmas episode.
And it's a Christmas episode, yeah.
I don't know if you know. Oh, I know you know this about me. I fucking love Christmas, and this episode hit so many, like, I don't know what it did, but it hit those buttons in the right way, and I got super horned up for Christmas, and I'm like, oh, wait, it's almost April. Shit.
Yeah.
Tiny Joseph, you already hit that. This episode really hit me in my Christmas jollies. I wrote it twice, apparently. And then it's been a minute since we had a, like, actual true-to-form Brock fight, right? Like, we didn't have one last week, unless you count, like, the weird car shit, which I'm not really doing. The courtroom scene, we didn't, but we still counted the, you know, goleming the gonads or whatever the hell I wrote it in the master log. But we actually get a Samson fight. He kicks open the door. Hey, I've been naughty. That's great. That's so great. Just action hero at the ass. I'm in. Let's go. And then I've got the note in a 10-minute episode. This might be my favorite episode.
Ooh, very good. Very good call.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Also, hey, listeners, I hope you appreciate all the Christmas music I'm putting in the background here, because I'm sure I, like, just needlessly am adding jingle bells and shit to all of our usual backtracking.
Of course.
So if we're going to parodies and references, I think we need to split this one in half really quick.
Yeah, absolutely.
So on the one hand, you have, like, Doc Venture's dream sequence, which is a handful in and of itself, but then we get the other end of the episode. Does that work with you?
Absolutely. Well, see, because I got most of my parodies and references from that dream sequence here.
Okay. Well, so what did you come up with?
Yeah, no, so I noticed, obviously we have references to Dickens' Christmas Carol, right? We have the Ghost of the Future. We have him screaming out the window to the boy, hey, what day is this? It's Christmas Day. Awesome. Excellent. So Christmas Carol references. We also have the reference to the Dr. Seuss, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, mm-hmm. right? With the heart that grew three sizes that day. We also have Hank, as he's getting yelled down to, boy, what day is this? It's Christmas Day. He is carrying around Charlie Brown's busted-ass Christmas tree. Uh-huh. So we have a Charlie Brown Christmas as a reference. And then finally, I recognize something about, oh, this is totally made up. This is like Star Wars Wookiee Life Day. That's definitely from the Star Wars Christmas special, right?
Oh, buddy, yeah.
And I went, oh, this is great. It's my buddy Mark, who's big into Star Wars. He's going to be able to explain Wookiee Life Day to me. So that's what I got for parodies and references specifically, other than like some basic seasonal ones, right? Obviously, Krampus is, he's kind of cultural at this point. Like, not everybody knows about Krampus, but a decent amount of people know about mm-hmm. him. More people know now than they used to, because at least we have, what, four good American Dad episodes with Krampus?
You got that. And then, hey, once again, I can't wait to show my kids the episode where we talk about Krampus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. You guys had a whole episode on that movie.
Starring Brad's dad, Randy, as our special guest.
Mm-hmm. 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 It's a good one, guys. Go listen to it.
Yeah, there's a couple more that I saw. Doc Venture's nose glowing, he starts to levitate. It's Rudolph. And then Nobody Wants a Dean in the Box is a call out to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Island of Misfit Toys. And then finally, I should have written the line down, but they're ripping off It's a Wonderful Life. And, oh, hello there, you old jolly this shit, jolly ex. It's what he's saying. It's the Jimmy Stewart. Him yelling down to town about how
oh,
happy he is.
Oh, it's not my house. It's in Bill's house.
Bill's house.
What are you doing with my mini, Bill?
Oh, Johnny's petals.
Oh.
All right, let's talk about not directly Christmas ripoffs in the first, like, 30 seconds. Because, dude, they just shoehorn it in so well, and it's so organic. I already said this is like my favorite episode. This is how you do Christmas parody, man. Like, you're not being shitty, you're not being nasty. Like, it just opens with the ghost of Christmas yet to come. And, you know, are these, you know, the shadows of things that have happened or may happen. And Samson just like pulls down his hood and yells at him. That's hilarious, dude. Like, this is such a good, like, send up of this. But then I also noticed the green machine. So they're talking about the 1970 whatever Sears Roebuck catalog, and he mm-hmm. wants the Joker Mobile, which, duh, that one's super easy. But then we just watched The Community where Britta's parents were, like, paying for the couch and shit, and Britta GTAs the little kid's bike, and Abed goes, ooh, green machine. Nice. So I knew what that was.
Nice. Okay.
Triana is a reference to something. I just don't know. Her outfit is a reference, but I can't place it.
Ooh, okay.
Life Day was a Star Wars Christmas special about Wookiees on Kashyyyk, and it sucked. And Harrison Ford is like the highest. He's higher than when he crashed like four planes in a row. He is in this fucking episode.
Oh, wow. I didn't think he did any of the extra stuff. I thought he only did their base stuff.
Oh, wow. Future Mark, if you can find the promo, cut it in here, because you can just hear him, oh, yeah, join me and Luke for Life Day. Oh, that's hilarious. Like, Harrison, I've never heard an actor want to kill himself more than Harrison Ford, who always seems like he just wants to kill himself whatever role he's in, than he does in that fucking special. I think it's on Disney Plus. I think you can watch the actual special on Disney Plus. Go check it out if you got it, kids.
Awesome.
Krampus humping is hilarious. You already hit that. Tiny Joseph is hilarious. Oh, destroying your arch nemesis on Christmas. How thoughtful. And then getting mad at him. That was a surprise. I peaked. What can I say? This is a really good episode where nothing at all happens. Landing in the Gaza Strip, we saw where Jesus was born. I got some friends at a Mossad. Otherwise, I gotta brush up on my Arabic. It's all right. This thing runs on plutonium. They're gonna love us here. And it's like, sure, that joke doesn't hold up now, but it didn't hold up back then either. Spoilers, guys. This thing has been happening for longer than a year. But hey, what's history? I don't know. Johnny, talk to me about your parodies and references or anything else that I didn't hit, because I've been talking for a minute. Here I go steamrolling again.
No, you're good. You're good. You're good. So what I've got here is from our good old friend the Wiki, what they picked up as some of our references here. So so we're going to hit what we didn't actually already notice, right? So we hit Charlie Brown Christmas. We hit Christmas carols. Mm-hmm. Very easy. Apparently, the Bethlehem sign that Brock holds up on board the X-1 is Arabic, and the characters written on it phonetically spell Hallelujah.
Okay.
There's a reference to Bauhaus, because Pete White says he's the first one at his college radio to play music from the band Bauhaus. I have to imagine that Bauhaus is somehow German-related, probably German electronica. Guys, that is forthcoming. I'll figure it out.
Bauhaus was an English rock band in Northampton in 1978, known for their dark imagery and gloomy sound. One of the pioneers of goth rock.
Interesting. Okay, so goth rock makes sense. Now I feel like a jackass that I saw Bauhaus spelled like a German and thought he was German.
Well, I thought it was, because that's like a, it's a thing too. It's like a theater style or some shit. So, you know, I didn't know. Oh, apparently they're racist. I don't know. That's what Google says.
Okay. Reference to Beetlejuice, right? With Dr. Orpheus stopping Dean from speaking by magicking a bolted metal plate around his mouth. Excalibur, the final line of the incantation which Dean summons Krampus, is the charm of making from the movie Excalibur.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay.
Okay.
How deep do you want your cuts to
Frosty
get?
Right? Frosty the Snowman is his pornographic equal is Frothy the Blowman. let's see here. How the Grinch Stole Christmas. It's a Wonderful Life. We have the pornographic movie Jingle Balls. There's a whole bunch in here. Rudolph the Red-Knobbed Reindeer.
Dear. Saw that.
Wow. And then, of course, the Star Wars Holiday Special for Wookiee's Life Day. Yeah, there's not a lot in here. And on that, there's also, because this is a special, guys, and it's definitely, I mean, it's canonical, but not canonical, if you will, right? Like, it doesn't really matter in the long and short of things. Because if this really had happened, then what the hell happened to Hank and Dean dying at the end of the first season? Because they show up a lot in this episode. Also, the Monarch and Doctor Girlfriend are still together in this episode. Like, there's a bunch going on. So we're just gonna say this is a happy little offshoot that either existed before all this shit happened, or it existed in its own type of Toad Ash universe. It's fine.
You know, much
So
like
instead
Wookiee
of
Life
our
Day, it's just a one-off thing that we use to make money with.
exactly, as I say, your Christmas gift for this episode is that we don't have a Who's That Killed member.
Or is it Tiny
Mark,
Joseph?
it could be, it really could be Tiny Joseph. Mark, do you have a kill of the week?
I wrote it down as the Kinky Krampus Christmas Kung Fu.
Wow.
I like alliteration.
I mean, spoken like a true Marvel artist, but that's cool.
What did you see? Was there another one or?
No, so I mean, really, I have Brock versus Krampus.
Okay.
Like that's really it. And it's not a kill. It's just the, hey, I'm gonna take you out until the grandfather clock starts donging, I guess. No, that's the only one that I saw this week. Mark, you there has to be something in here that two wizards already did. Please, please enlighten us.
Yeah, so we have done multiple. So we did one Loose Robes Christmas where we got super hammered on glow wine and talked about Christmas time and what it means to us. We did a cinema series where we watched a Brazilian animated masterpiece called The Christmas Tree by Flammarion Fantana, I want to say. It's terrible. Listen to me and Josh die inside as we watch that. Or also, we watched The 12 Pups of Christmas, which is the worst fucking thing I've ever watched in my entire life. Go listen to our souls die. You can hear me and Josh time travel through drunkenness. We're like, we start it and then we just break down a scene every like 15, 20, 30 minutes, depending on, you know, like the natural cuts and shit. And you just hear us like,
Oh,
we.
wow.
So that one was fun. We cut it on Christmas Eve and like we just kept making the joke, oh, we're gonna be hungover for Christmas. And then we called each other on Christmas morning. It's like, how are you? Oh, I want to fucking die. How are you? Oh, I want to fucking die. But also, if you want an actual Two Wizards Christmas episode, we did one called Two Wizards and the Scary Christmas Time Goblins, where we talk about the Yule lads and their. It's a Icelandic tradition about the 13 nights before Christmas when 13 little horrible children come and fuck with your house. Hell, we've done a lot of Christmas episodes. We also did one about we resurrected the tradition of spooky Christmas time ghost stories and talked about like scary shit. We read some we read the H.P. Lovecraft Christmas story. He writes a Christmas story, kids. It's amazing. I talk about a killer Santa that came and burnt down a house and killed a bunch of people. It's Two Wizards is ripe with Christmas territory because I fucking love. Oh my God! Oh my God! The Cash. I'm sorry, John. I'm like reeling here. The
Yeah,
Cash
no,
Landrum UFO event happened on December the 23rd, and I called it the Christmas Time UFO. And it happened December 23rd. These people in southern Texas saw a UFO, and the one woman didn't believe in aliens, but she was such a staunch Christian. She said she turned to she turned to her child in the back seat and said, and this is my favorite line I've ever gotten to say in Two Wizards, "Don't worry, baby, it won't hurt us. That's just Jesus." And she got, they all three got super radiation poisoning. There's so much Two Wizards Christmas shit, is my point. Oh my God, I've got a Christmas time boner here. What's my mistletoe doing?
Guys, go listen to Yule Lads. That's my personal favorite out of all the stuff that Mark just
Oh,
named.
thanks, buddy.
It's really good. Yes. All right. Well, hey, we are to our ranking here, from a ranking of must have to hurts to indulge. What did you give our Christmas special, Mark?
Well, so this is a hard one because it's so short. It's kind of silly to get like, you know, blazed up to watch it. But then at the same time, if it's in true Christmas keeping, and if you're like me and I know I am, then Christmas is a time for getting blitzed at 8 in the morning, just like the rest of your family. So it's a must have if you're doing it in like proper keeping with the season.
Gotcha. It's basically just a, it's not that it's a bad episode. It's just a, hey, if we're watching a Christmas episode and it's Christmas time, we absolutely need to get fucked up for the day.
Exactly.
All right. I threw this as a fun addition, so not quite as a must have, but I definitely agree with you. We need a little something extra here to to enhance this viewing. It's going to be great on its own, but a little bit more, that's never going to hurt it. Considering that this, I think we can consider it pretty non-canonical when a lot of stuff goes. It just makes it that much more entertaining to kind of indulge.
Okay. I like that.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Mark. Well, with that, we are officially at our end of season one. How are you feeling?
Well, number one, I feel good. This went a lot quicker than I thought it would. That's what she said. But, like, I don't know. I am into Venture Bros. Is this the appropriate time to talk about our Brock Samson season one kill of the season?
Yes, actually, yeah. I've got a couple of questions here that I was going to ask you, and that is chiefly the number one top here. So Brock's best kill over the entire season. What do we got here? What do you feel like is the best kill he has had all season?
Well, so let's see if I can run this down in one breath. And a one, and a two, and a one, two, three. I know I can't. We have Mummy in the landing gear, Gator in the landing gear, beating down the muggers with a door, the Checker auto parts battle, the parking lot dart death battle, Chupacabra in the plane, Rusty venturing inside the Monarch's lair, putting the Phantom Spaceman in the pretzel bender, Strong arming Manstrong in space, knifing Sass, shaving the Sass, Mandalay in the hallway, Molotov cocktease in the duvet of death, bathroom dick beatdown in the beehive, mind-blowing fireworks sock, the ninja cowboy dream sequence massacre, pirates on the X2, murder on the poop deck, burning down the ship, polar bear arctic ass kick, the murder memories montage featuring death darts, harpooning sharkmen, sub-zero kill, and molocult cocktail kills, destroying Dean in training, the monarch's birthday gift beat 'em up, the ass-kicking echo across time, breaking the golem's balls, Dr. Orpheus's putting the homophobes into the homie, or this one, this kinky Krampus Christmas kung fu. At this point, I think the best kills we have seen is Rusty venturing in the Monarch's lair from, I got to find the episode here, from Dia de los Dangerous when he's driving his car around and just running over Monarch's butterfly henchmen.
Yes.
That is super good. But then on my own personal stance, it is gotta be, I think it's still gotta be, well, you know, I'm gonna redact it. I know that I've been talking all the good shit about Molotov cocktease and the duvet of death where he like takes her head and, you know, throws in the blanket and then bangs her against a wall. But really, I think my favorite Brock Samson beatdown that we've watched is putting the Phantom Spaceman in the pretzel bender. That is the best thing I've seen. That is the best thing we've watched. It gets brought up across all three High Hammock shows between you and I, and then also Brad talks about the the pretzel bender, and so does Streeter. So like that one is the one that rings most true in my heart on this beautiful Christmas day.
Amazing. Amazing. So for me, the best kill over the season is still, I think I'm going to recant and go back to the bathroom dick beatdown. Just, it's the most unique, and I have to imagine nothing is usable after that for a couple of weeks at the very least.
Oh.
Good old Brock, he's got a lot going on, and Molotov makes him do things that he really shouldn't be doing, and it's just definitely interesting, for sure.
All right.
Okay, so, Mark, I've got a couple of questions for you here to kind of round out this season, because now we've watched an entire season's worth of The Venture Bros. We've gotten to know Doc and Brock and the boys. We've gotten to know Dr. Orpheus. We've gotten to know the Monarch. We've gotten to know some of his other villains, right? Baron Underbite and things like that. So, we've got a lot of background knowledge at this point. Mm-hmm. And so going forward, knowing there's six more seasons here, I want you to kind of put that into perspective. As of right now, of the characters that you know, that you've seen, all that sort of stuff, I want you to kind of use that to inform some of these questions here. So first, in this first season, did you have a favorite episode?
I think it's this one, honestly. I don't know. I'm a sucker for Christmas specials anyway. I love Christmas time. I like the feeling that it makes, okay, that it makes us think we're supposed to feel. I don't know. I get nostalgic, and the biggest one for that is Christmas. But then barring that, was a big fan of Careers in Science, where they go to the space base. That's a great one. But then also yes. Ghosts of the Sargasso. God damn, that was a great episode too. So yeah, like, and I think that's kind of like the point is I can't pick just one episode that I enjoyed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's a very good sign to me at the very, very least for sure. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff that happens on the Gargantua one. There's a lot of good stuff that happens on the Sargasso. Both solid picks. For me, my favorite episode for this first season was Midlife Chrysalis. And I don't know why specifically that one, other than I have one specific scene that every time I think of this show, it almost always comes down to that specific scene. So maybe that's why it's my favorite episode in the first season. But hey, who knows? Maybe I've just watched it more than the rest.
Okay.
All right. Do you have a least favorite episode? You have one that really just didn't quite hit the mark for you.
Just a second. Got to check back in my notes here for the name. I was not that big into Tag Sale, You're It. It was fine.
Okay.
But, all right. And then Are You There, God? It's Me, Dean, hit me on a personal level that I wasn't really into. But, yeah, that's... where I'm at. I haven't found myself disliking this. It's not like, oh god, make it. I'll put it this way. Right. None of these episodes are Miss Wakefield in my book.
That's a very good sign for sure. No, I think that's fair to say, like, hey, you could have a least favorite episode, but it's still a good episode, right? For me, I also felt that Are You There, God? It's Me, Dean was probably my least favorite episode of this entire one. And mostly because the bulk of that episode is talking about testicular torsion. And I feel like, all right, I don't need to watch 20 minutes on the same gag most of the time. you know, all that sort of stuff. Okay, so I want you to give me your favorite Rusty Venture throughout this season, right? Your favorite joke, your gag, anything, like your favorite thing that you have seen throughout this season that really sticks out to you that... you're going to take with you if you had stopped watching the series here.
So from Careers in Science, after Brock puts the smackdown on a oh my god, what's her nuts? John? Phantom Spaceman's name is
I just keep thinking Pretzel Bender and Manstrong.
Yeah, dude.
Baldovich.
Thank you. Yeah, after Brock puts the smackdown on Baldovich. And Manstrong is yelling at her, and he goes, is he bigger than me? What was it like? It's like a mushroom, right? It's all mushroom. He's got a damn Smurf living on it. I think about the Smurf living on Brock Samson's dick more times than a grown fucking man should be thinking about. And it hit me so hard. But then my other favorite moment in this was from Ghost of the Sargasso. And you ask me, what do you think James Taylor has to say about this? And I thought that you were referencing the episode where Homer goes to space and they bring James Taylor in and sweet dreams in flying machines, flying safely through the air. And you thought that Space Oddity was written by James Taylor, and then I just yelled at you for like 5 minutes about how great Bowie was. Yeah, I...
Okay.
Also, thank you for putting up with me and my shitty, horrible, like, music assholeness. I love you, buddy.
It's cool. It's cool, buddy. It's cool. So my favorite Rusty Venture also comes from Careers in Science, and it is the entire sequence that we see throughout the whole episode of Doc having to deal with the urine throughout his spacesuit. Like, that it just keeps coming back up. Like, I lose my shit every time I watch it. It's one of the funniest things I think I've ever seen. His whole thing of, oh, it's now, it's in the tips of my fingers, like, at the end of his gloves, like, that, I lose it every single time. And you already hit my last question here, which was what your favorite scene and moment was.
My bad.
No, it's okay. I'm glad you hit it already, because it means we're on the same wavelength here. Mine was definitely, it's a toss-up.
Okay.
So, the pretzel bender... is real hard. That whole sequence, right? Where Baldovich and Brock are engaging in zero G wrestling. We'll say that. The pretzel bender sequence is fantastic, but also, like I said, I have a huge thing for the midlife chrysalis, and Hank just casually dicking around with his dad's dermis, going, "Oh, oh wow, I bet the tooth fairy would give you about a grand for this." That is one of the funniest things I've ever heard, ever. Like, it always, always makes me laugh. So I will never not find that entertaining, for sure.
All right. All right.
So, okay. As we close the book on season one, Mark, is there any other comments you'd like to make about what we've watched, what we've got going forward, what you're hoping for?
So what we've watched, number one, I have enjoyed my time here. Thank you for talking me into doing this project, because I wasn't unsure, but I was kind of reticent. Like, what the hell are we going to talk about Venture Bros sure. about? I don't know how much I can get out of this, but hey, I am really enjoying it. I'm also to the point now where I don't know if we're still into PP, and that's a weird feeling to have. And then it's a weird feeling to have the feeling that we're not into PP anymore.
Okay.
But yeah, past that, no, I am enjoying this. I'm kind of mad I gotta wait a week to find out, like, what happens to the boys. And then, like, you're pulling this deal where you're like a parent, and I'm like telling you what I think Santa got me for Christmas, and you're like, oh yeah, do you think Santa got you clones for Christmas, little Mark? okay they're big guy. And I'm just I both love and hate it, but like, nah, dude, I'm having a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. What are you thinking, man? How do you feel?
I've very much enjoyed this first season, right? Like, on a good deep dive rewatch, I'm seeing just how strong of a first season this is. There's a lot of TV shows out there that don't have a super strong first season, and yet they still manage to somehow get another 9 after that. I don't know. Maybe they're the Big Bang Theory. Maybe they're How I Met Your Mother. It is what it is. It's fine.
Ooh, shots fired. All right.
Shots fired hard. What can I say? But with this, I feel like there is a lot of really good stuff here. They've explored a lot of different genres, right? We've seen a whole bunch of different 007 references. We've seen a bunch of Scooby-Doo references. We have very fun episodes. We have very kind of serious episodes. We've got moments where Doc is supposed to be silly, and we have got other moments where you're like, wow, you are the most pitiful human in the entire world. Awesome.
Nice.
Lots of really good character building and stuff like that. So I'm very excited to continue on this journey, because season one is, I mean, compared to the rest of this series, this is kit gloves. Right?
Really?
Like, we're going to take them off here real quick, and you're going to get into it. I know you're a big fan of somebody who likes continuity and consequences and stuff like that, and I really feel like this is going to scratch your itch going forward.
Awesome.
So,
awesome.
Very excited to hear that you're feeling good and that you're kind of invested in this. Before we exit our stuff, before we do all of our goodbyes and all that stuff, I got to ask you now, and now more than ever, it's more important, right? We watched a full season of this, and now is the best possible time to ask you, has this replaced anything on your Mount Rushmore yet?
Yeah, it's getting close. So number one, Brad called me out on this, and he's like, you know, you and Johnny both in your Mount Rushmores, you didn't mention Boondocks, which, of course, the Boondocks is up there.
Okay.
But, so there's that one. I honestly think this might have knocked Metalocalypse off my Mount Rushmore.
Interesting.
I don't like Metal. Okay. Not that I don't like it. I just kind of quit watching Metalocalypse after a point. I was in college. They switched to 30-minute episodes.
Sure.
It was hard to get. Remember how hard it was to watch cartoons in college? And, like, they had pushed that time slot back to, like, Adult Swim. It started at, like, 10 p.m. on Sunday nights when we. Because remember, I don't know if you remember this, but like in college, we had the cable and shit. And for whatever reason, we picked up the West Coast version of Adult Swim. So they would start Adult
right.
Swim at like 10 or 11 o'clock at night. So you wouldn't get to Metalocalypse until like 1 in the morning. And quite frankly, 1 in the morning on mm-hmm. Sunday nights, I was already pretty trashed and not in the mood to watch Metalocalypse. So, like, I stopped watching it. I got back into it. I've tried to watch it since then, and it just doesn't hit the same beats for me that it did. So at this point, yeah, dude, I am willing to say that Venture Bros, if not replacing, they took a picture of the Venture Brothers and hung it up on the face of the Metalocalypse face on my Mount Rushmore of Adult Swim. And maybe that's a project incoming. Maybe we're going to redact the past and change it. But for right now, like, tentatively, yeah, dude, this is up there. I am into it. I am invested. And I want to see what happens next season. So, that's where I'm at. Yeah, it has, John. I'm going to just come down, put my foot down, and say, Venture Bros has replaced Metalocalypse on my Adult Swim Mount Rushmore.
Awesome. I can't say that I'm surprised by this. I knew that you were going to enjoy this show. I am a little surprised. I didn't think you would get to this point so early, right? I didn't think it would only take a season. I thought it might take a little bit more character development for it, but I'm okay with it. For the record, I would love to pitch to you and to Josh and to Brad that we do a four-way loose robes on Metalocalypse, because as our good buddy Brad pointed out to me when we talked last, it's the only single show that is on every single one of our Mount Rushmore at one point for Adult Swim.
We can do that.
And so it'd be very interesting to talk with you guys about it and why it is so impactful. But we're not here to talk about Metalocalypse. We're here to talk about the Venture Bros. Mine is still firmly up there, right? There's a lot of really good stuff in there. I don't want to put like place numbers on there, right? You know, we all know that Lincoln is probably the best guy that's up there on the Mount Rushmore, but you know, everybody else is kind of important too.
Yeah.
So I don't want to put like placements on it, but it's very, very firmly up there. It's up there almost in my Lincoln spot, if you will. So, we're here. We're rounding out season one. We're finishing up with this Christmas special, which I think is a really fun little bit here to kind of end our season. And yeah, what else you got to say, man? Otherwise, we'll get on out of here.
I don't really have anything else to say other than, hey, thank you for talking me into this. Having a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to the future, man. And, happy Easter once again. Ho, ho, ho.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, hey, if you ever want to contact the Dangle Venture Boys, we are at Dangle Podcast. We're on Gmail. We're on Instagram. We're on X. We are on Blue Sky. Our Blue Sky handle is High Hammock Radio. You can always reach out to me personally. I am on Blue Sky and on Instagram. I am Krautball. Kraut is in sauerkraut, ball is in Swedish meatball. And I will be honest, I've had quite a lot of beer today, so it's going to be a fun day. Too bad none of you guys are going to talk to me today. You're going to get this in like 2 weeks. Fine. Mark, where else can they listen to you?
If you didn't get enough of me tonight here, well, please go check out the other two shows that I mercilessly pimped this week. The I Can't Wait to Show My Kids podcast, a cinematic celebration of filling in blind spots with me and our good buddy Brad and sometimes Johnny and our other buddy Josh. Or the Two Wizards podcast, a show where I actually do research and sit down and write a script and I just don't sit here and talk about how great Star Wars is. Mostly. You can find me at Marky Stardust on Twitter. And thank you guys for being here. Thank you for making us a part of your day. And we hope to see you next week.
Happy Life Day, everybody.
Happy Life Day. When I rolled away the stone, I found that Chewbacca was not in the tomb or something. I don't know.